You're listening to the Triangle Radio Reading Service, broadcasting from Raleigh, North Carolina, serving the blind and print-impaired community since 1983. This is Nancy Jones. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the summer 2019 issue of Vanity Fair magazine. This is Vanity Fair Part B. Opening Act. Catherine Newton speaks with Vanity Fair's Britt Hennemuth. Photograph by Jordy Wood, styled by Tony Irvine. Catherine Newton wearing a gown by Carolina Herrera, hair products by Kevin Murphy, makeup and nail enamel by Chanel. Catherine Newton, 22, whose summer screen hat trick is Pokemon, Detective Pikachu, The Society, and Big Little Lies. This is the summer of Catherine Newton. You star on the big and small screens, first in Pokemon Detective Pikachu, opposite Ryan Reynolds. My first day of elementary school, I had my Pikachu backpack, and I still have my cards. So it's crazy to be a part of something that defined a lot of your childhood. My character, Lucy Stevens, is a young reporter who's driven, fearless, and funny. And I'm very proud of this new world that we've created. A movie like Pokemon just doesn't come around that often. Do I hear a little accent? Honestly, it depends on who I've been hanging out with, because I'm from Miami. When I was 11, I moved to L.A. for a CBS sitcom called Gary Unmarried, so now I'm surrounded by the Valley Girl accent. If I'm in London too long, I'll come home sounding British. Jim Burrows produced that show, created Cheers, and directed Frasier, Friends, and Will and Grace. Tell me about auditioning for the sitcom king. He plays golf, and I play golf, and I think I got the gig because that was my in. They wrote golfing into the show. Do you still play? Of course. I was known as Catherine the Golfer in high school. My next tournament is at Pebble Beach, which I'm really excited about. That's one of my favorite courses. So you'll be back in Northern California, your Big Little Lies neck of the woods. Exactly. I love Carmel, the best golf and the best vintage shopping. I'm self-styled, so for the Pokemon press tour, I looked at the collections and just dreamt really big. I'm normally in sweatpants, so if I'm going to dress up, I go all out. Take me from Catherine the Golfer to being cast in HBO's star-stacked show. When you see a cast like that, you just think, they're not going to pick me. When I met director Jean-Marc Vallée, he was like, I don't know if you can be tough. So I flipped off the camera. Well, that's as tough as I can be. The next thing I knew, I was at the table, Reed sitting with Nicole, Reese, Shailene, Zoe, and Laura, and I was just watching them. Reese and I had lunch together afterwards, and I could just feel that she was going to lift me up. She really let me fly and flourish. Is there anything you can reveal about season two? You can expect a lot more conflict between me and my mother, Madeline, played by Reese, amongst all the chaos that's happening in our Big Little Lies world. A world which now includes Meryl Streep? Oh my God, when Reese told me that Meryl was going to be part of the cast, I just started screaming. She's amazing because she really adapts and listens, and it makes such a difference. It's the most professional set I've ever been on. Fan mail. Ryan Reynolds said, Catherine reminds me of Bernadette Peters. Behind her approachable, kind exterior lurks a titan. And this from Reese Witherspoon. I am so proud of how she's taken charge of her own career, becoming a leader on her sets and amongst her peers. And Martin McDonagh said, I can't imagine any other young actress going toe-to-toe with Frances McDormand and not being intimidated. From the Hive Report, Campaign Recess. Whether you're a voter or a visitor in one of these early primary states, here's the food to eat and the sights to see as inspired by a few Democratic frontrunners. Get hyped in Burlington, Iowa, Bean Counter Coffee House and Drinkery. Long before Beto O'Rourke's Desert Boots graced its bar, Bean Counter was serving organic fair trade coffee to Burlington locals. Stop in for an iced latte with a shot of Bailey's, but please stay off the counter. Find your bliss in Las Vegas, Nevada. Springs Preserve. Just west of packed Las Vegas Boulevard, the Springs Preserve, which Elizabeth Warren visited in February, features museums, galleries, miles of trails, and a stunning botanical garden brimming with cacti. Find art in Manchester, New Hampshire, Currier Museum of Art. The crowds swarming in April came to see South Bend's electric millennial mayor, Pete Buttigieg. But the museum's collection is just as dynamic. Picasso and O'Keeffe paintings, plus tours of Frank Lloyd Wright's Zimmerman House. Pig out in Charleston, South Carolina, Rodney Scott's Whole Hog Barbecue. Kamala Harris ordered the whole hog sandwich, greens and cornbread with butter and honey, but it's hard to go wrong with any menu item conceived by pitmaster Rodney Scott, who's been roasting hogs since age 11. Louisa Strauss takes us on this Vanity Fair field trip, home-based. In Mexico City, Gabriela Camara reigns as a star of modern cuisine and now as a political force. 2 decades ago, an art history student opened Contramar, a restaurant that introduced Mexico City's dining scene to fresh fish in the form of tuna tostadas and red and green grilled snapper. Since then, Gabriela Camara's seafood mecca has become a beloved, perpetually packed institution for languorous lunches, while the chef and restaurateur has opened the similarly spirited Cala in San Francisco and recently released her first cookbook, My Mexico City Kitchen. This month, the ever-energetic Camara opens Onda in L.A. with Jessica Coslow of Squirrel Cafe fame and returns to her home in Mexico City to serve as an advisor to President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, focusing first on food policy and nutrition. In the photos, copper has always been a coveted metal to cook in, and my grandmother accumulated a great collection of baking pans, which she left me. I grew up in a house where we always had people over. My grandmother would cook for 80 people, and I've always loved to host. I won this in a raffle. It's a piece by one of my favorite artists, Francis Alice. The diamond necklace and drawing are paired to show how a camera can be as powerful as a gun. I love red shoes, always have, and red clogs just make everything happier. My mom bought me this wooden tortilla press when I learned how to make tortillas when I was 7. This blue fox hammock is my most absurdly luxurious possession, no doubt, but also my favorite place to read and nap. These beautiful Mexican textiles are huipiles, like ponchos, from Los Valles de Juanacata. It can take up to 3 months for local craftswoman to make one, using traditional techniques and natural dyes from snails and tiny beetles. Cookbooks are my weakness. The ones I use the most are Diana Kennedy's for Mexican food and Artusi's and Adaboni's for Italian, plus my grandmother's recipe for caponata. Photographs for this article by Leila Ashtari. From Marjon Carlos comes this Bronze Age. Faking vacation glow has long meant a hint of bronzer. For some, now Rihanna is redefining sun-kissed skin for all. Photograph by Travis Rathbone, showing a sunny ode to Roy Lichtenstein. Bronzers by Fenty Beauty, Marc Jacobs, and Guerlain. Neutrogena sunscreen and blue eyeshadow by L'Oreal Paris, all assembled to form a picture. Roy Lichtenstein style of the sun rising over a beach. Rihanna, as we know, hides from nothing. Fashion statements, big business, the sun. The Barbados-born artist chases it, as the name of Fenty Beauty's debut bronzer suggests. Sunstalker boasts 8 shades, a category-redefining breadth in line with the brand's inclusive approach. The campaign shows a golden Riri in the desert. Unfazed by the scorching heat, she turns her face into the light. We've come a long way from the age of one-shade-fits-all bronzer, that orange-tinged brick designed to suit, say, a freckled Lindsay Lohan. Sephora alone stocks nearly 200 variations and counting. Marc Jacobs' Omega bronzer now comes in a burnt caramel. Priscilla Ono, Fenty's global makeup artist, spent 2 years on Sunstalker with a close eye to undertones, rich reds for darker skin, cool taupes for fair. Simulating a baked tan is not the goal. It's more to give you this beautiful bronze effect, Ono says, where it looks like you've been in the sun in a healthy way. In other words, vacation glow. That notion rocked Europe in 1923 when a sun-kissed Coco Chanel stepped off a Mediterranean cruise and caused a stir. Since antiquity, white women were supposed to be pale because it suggested that they did not have to work outside. That was a symbol of higher status, says Laurie L. Tharps, author of Same Family, Different Colors. But even as the suntan craze spread, she notes, there was pressure for women of color to stay lighter. So today's full-spectrum glow is a pivotal shift. Call it the Rihanna effect. When an icon relishes her burnished skin, it's validating for so many others. Paloma Elsesser is taking a shine. The Afro-Latina model grew up indifferent to tanning, and dermatologists point out that UV exposure poses a danger to all skin tones. Now with an itinerant life unfolding across Instagram, Nigeria, Jamaica, Mexico, Spain, Elsesser embodies a fresh kind of vacation glow. When I look at photos from summer, I'm like, how amazing, she says with a laugh, describing a honey-hued warmth boosted by a swirl of bronzer. Great Escapes. In these transportive summer novels, the settings from Jamaica to Old Hollywood play a central role. Here, the authors recommend their favorite local spots by Keziah Weir, with illustration by Lauren Tamaki, showing the books and the places. Kristen Arnett, Mostly Dead Things, published by Tin House. In this swampy, beguiling debut, Jessica Lynn Morton, a young taxidermist in love with her brother's recently estranged wife, attempts to preserve her family in the wake of a tragedy. Payne's Prairie, just outside of Gainesville, Florida, is a 21,000-acre state park made up of all the things I love about being outdoors in my home state. Nature trails crammed with native plants and towering palm scrub, streams and canals full of birds and fish and alligators. Dominic Smith, The Electric Hotel, published by Sarah Crichton. In a sweeping epic, a star director of the silent film era revisits the muse and the masterpiece that upended his life. Los Angeles's Hollywood Pantages Theater is where vaudeville meets the American Movie Palace. You can still see touring theatrical productions here and experience the Art Deco excesses of a different time, opulent ceilings, and statues like the Byzantine gods of old Hollywood. Daniel Naya, Beijing Payback, published by Echo. Following his father's murder, a college basketball player sets out from his California home to track down the killer and his dad's secret history in Beijing. There's an unforgettable nightclub called Chocolat in the Russian neighborhood of Beijing. They've got everything you need for an epic night out in the Chinese capital, a floor show, gilded toilets, and a portrait of Napoleon on the wall. Taffy Brodesser Ackner, Fleischman is in Trouble, published by Random House. The story of an Upper East Side doctor's life, which implodes when his ex-wife drops off their children and doesn't return, as told by his best friend. In my book, the narrator often goes to Manhattan's Angelica Movie Theater. It's her strange form of rebellion against her life. When I was in high school and college, I'd go to that theater in the middle of the day or at midnight. I'd sit in the same seats I sit in now. Laura Meckling, How Could She?, published by Viking. The lives of three women who met in Toronto are entangled by friendships, romantic dalliances, and simmering feuds when they re-collide in New York. I love Le Paradis, a French bistro on a quiet street just north of Bloor, Toronto's main drag. There's nothing remotely groovy about it. What it has going for it is consistently good food, mussels, steak frites, etc., and an atmosphere that feels both lively and chill, insiderish and open-armed. Nicole Dennis Bin, Patsy, published by Live Right. Patsy, a loving but reluctant mother, leaves her daughter behind in Jamaica to pursue a long yearned for life and love in America. Whenever I return to Jamaica, I visit Tasty Patties in Crossroads. The patties are baked to a crisp, and the restaurant brings back fond memories of childhood, family outings, the wildness of Kingston, Saturdays spent at the hairdresser, the luring smell of Tasty's patties baking nearby. Vanity Fair agenda, promotion, events, shop, diamonds, and sapphire. A single block of colored sapphire enters Richard Mille's factory in Switzerland, and no fewer than 40 days are needed for the company's watchmakers to hone the extremely hard material into a perfectly finished tripartite case. The crystalline housing of the new RM0702 gemset sapphire, as blue as the Aegean, sparkles with a delicate row of white diamonds, which are secured by gold prongs within a laser-cut incision in the sapphire. This new case allows the mother-of-pearl and diamond dial, as well as the skeletonized automatic movement, to dazzle beneath the surface. The purity of the caliber echoes that of the case, each complementing the other to form a unique timepiece that combines innovation and finesse. Event: Bulgari and Tribeca Premiere Film Series. Bulgari and Vanity Fair co-hosted an exclusive cocktail reception at Spring Studios to premiere two films, Celestial and The Fourth Wave, ahead of Tribeca Film Festival 2019. The films focused on female pioneers in the arts who are blazing their own paths in male-dominated fields. A panel moderated by Claire Howorth, Vanity Fair's executive editor, followed the screening and placed a spotlight on the next generation of female artists who are daring to redefine the future of their medium. Watch City on a Hill only on Showtime. When idealistic assistant district attorney DeCourcy Ward, Aldous Hodge, arrives in Boston, he discovers a place where you can't tell the saints from the sinners, leading him to an unlikely alliance with Jackie Rohr, Kevin Bacon, a corrupt FBI agent and local fixture who knows where most of the bodies are buried. Together, they're willing to break more than a few rules to rip out the machinery of a crooked city and then piece it all back together again. City on a Hill airs Sundays at 9 p.m. only on Showtime. Mary Alice Miller reports on culture. Time off. In 2000, Chanel debuted the J12 watch inspired by the elegant lines of America's Cup yachts. Now the brand is reissuing the classic waterproof timepiece with a sleeker form and internal updates, ensuring that its wearer won't be late for her destination, whether she's setting sail or taking flight. Up to standard. When London is calling, allow the standard to answer. The Modish Hotel brand's inaugural international outpost, the Standard London, opens this summer in a historic Brutalist building in King's Cross, where guests can peek at St. Pancras Station from their terrace bathtub, while revelers can visit the rooftop restaurant and bars via a dedicated phone booth red elevator. Maiden Voyage, a new documentary, chronicles the first all-women sailing crew to race around the world. Tracy Edwards spent her early 20s in a literal sea of men. There's 230 blokes in this race having the time of their lives, and four gals, Edwards recalls, thinking of the Whitbread Round the World race. How do I change this? Thus began the epic journey of captaining an all-female crew in the famously difficult 1989 sailing competition from England to Uruguay to Australia to New Zealand and back. Maiden, a documentary by Alex Holmes out this month, tells the gripping story wrought in 80s pastels, frothy blue seas, and a whole lot of silver trophies. The crew went on to win two legs of the race, and Edwards became the first woman to be named Yachtsman of the Year. Define your own course, says Edwards, now 56. You will absolutely end up where you need to be.
Thank you.
not just a day at the beach, with these summer reads. Hashtag Reckoning, the epic battle against sexual abuse and harassment by Linda Hirschman. Says Lawrence Tribe, a gripping account of the most profound cultural, political, and legal transformation of the past 50 years. Lori Gottlieb, maybe you should talk to someone. A therapist, her therapist, and our lives revealed. The New York Times says, an irresistibly candid and addicting memoir about psychotherapeutic practice as experienced by both the clinician and the patient. Fly Girls, how five daring women defied all and made aviation history by Keith O'Brien. Wall Street Journal says, a fascinating chapter not just in feminism and aviation, but in 20th century American history. Outrages, Sex, Censorship, and the Criminalization of Love by Naomi Wolf. Booklist said, an essential contribution not only to queer history, but also to studies of 19th century culture.
Thank you.
onto the fairground with photographs by Nina Westervelt. Viva La Frida, the Brooklyn Artist Ball welcomed art world revelers for a museum fiesta inspired by Frida Kahlo by Britt Hinemuth. Sharon Neshet, Kaz, Jr., McLean Thomas, and more artists had a ball indeed, enjoying tequila, cocktails, and Mexican fare, Frida art-making stations, and an after-party headlined by Swizz Beatz, who announced from the DJ booth, "Everybody in here has a chance to move the culture." The annual gala, which raised nearly $2 million for the Brooklyn Museum, honored artist Nick Cave and arts supporter Bank of America. Ann Pasternak, the museum's director, welcomed guests to one of the hottest museums on the planet after a dance with Diego Rivera and Frida in giant puppet form. In the photos, Sharon Neshat and a guest, Alicia Levon Boone and Kaz, the artist Oleg in the crocheted photo booth she created, Carla Shen and JR, members of the female mariachi band, Nick Cave, Micheline Thomas, and Raquel Chavremont. Kimberly Drew snaps a photo of Swizz Beatz in a pyre moss jacket with a black back bedazzled by the artist Derek Adams. This program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. I'm Nancy Jones, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service and broadcasting from its Raleigh, North Carolina studios. Vanity Fair Part A airs via special subchannel receiver on Saturday and Sunday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Vanity Fair Part B airs via special subchannel receiver on Monday and Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Both parts A and B are available as a podcast. Opening and closing music by Calexico. Interval selections by Mark Hoffman.